Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
After debating this issue exhaustively for a year, let's move forward together.
Passing a health care bill is a lot like rolling a snowball up a hill. The further you push it, the bigger it gets. It would be really nice for Barack Obama if he had some help. Because the bigger it gets, the heavier it gets. As soon as you get near the top, it rolls back down.
Americans are demanding that President Obama and the Democrats in control of Congress scrap their misguided plan of a government takeover of health care.
She took a tiny bit and rolled it up again. She had to let it go. I saw it go straight down.
The White House is trying for one more push up the hill on health care. Is this the time they reach the top? Or is it just another snowball?
And it rolled back down. And it rolled back down.
It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, February 23rd. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry for just a couple of more days, and I'm here with Celeste on healthcare. The takeaway for me is, you know, this new proposal the president has come up with is not too much different from the old proposals. It's going to be interesting to see how this one gets passed, if it can.
Well, yeah, and whether it's truly a reset or it's just a reset of public opinion. Let's get right to the top stories we're following this morning. Another blow to the Taliban's senior leadership this morning. Our partner, The New York Times, is reporting Pakistani authorities have captured Mullah Kabir, a member of the group's inner circle and the leading military commander in eastern Afghanistan. The arrest appears to be a strictly Pakistani operation. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says that's a good sign.
The recent events have been another positive indication of the Pakistanis' commitment to stabilizing this border area.
Meanwhile, the Pentagon now says 21, not 27, Afghan civilians were killed by a NATO airstrike on Sunday. On Capitol Hill, a jobs bill is expected to pass the Senate tomorrow after five Republicans broke ranks to join Democrats in shutting down a filibuster. Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown was among them.
Staying on Capitol Hill now, President Obama is trying to resurrect health care reform, but Republicans say the new plan looks too much like the old one. So what is new in the president's latest health care proposal? We're joined now by Mary Agnes Carey. She's senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Good morning, Mary Agnes.
Good morning.
Mary Agnes, the president says he's hitting the reset button, resetting the debate on health care. Does this proposal do that? Is it the reset button?
Well, it certainly might be trying to fast forward, trying to get new momentum into this bill, into discussions over the bill to try to get it over the finish line. The bill mirrors a lot of the provisions in the Senate package. It makes some changes in this Cadillac tax on the high-cost plans. It raises the threshold, but says it doesn't start for all the plans until about 2018, and that includes all health care plans. There's no carve-out specifically for the union plans that have been there before.
Okay.
He would give the federal government some new authority to regulate health insurance plans with an advisory board. He does a lot of things that are very similar in the bills. Medicaid expansion, cover more folks under Medicaid, more subsidies to help people purchase coverage.
Okay, and with all of these details, Mary Agnes, we're going to see if it is a reset for Republicans or even gets all of the Democrats on board. That's going to be incredibly important. Stay with us, Mary Agnes Carey, senior correspondent from Kaiser Health News. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Former Vice President Dick Cheney is in a Washington, D.C. hospital this morning after experiencing chest pains last night. His assistant says the 69-year-old is resting comfortably. Doctors are evaluating the situation.
And now to the markets. Asian markets were mixed. Yesterday, European indices are up. Futures are up. The Dow gets underway at 10,383. The S&P opens at 1,108. And the NASDAQ opens at 2,242. Coming up, we talk about work life every Tuesday. And with so many people looking for a job out there, interview questions, frankly, are getting a little weird. We tell you how to navigate them and tell you the real answer to a question like this. If you were a cereal, what cereal would you be? That sometimes comes up.
In our series, Frustration Nation continues. News today, frustration with Washington, not a new thing. Tell us, what was the single most irritating moment you faced in politics, now or then? 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to the website, thetakeaway.org.
Good morning. Todd Zwillick here filling in for John Hockenberry for a couple of more days, and Celeste is here with me. President Obama unveiled his health care proposal yesterday. It's about 11 pages long, and if you were looking for a drastically different health care bill than the one that's faltered so far in Congress, this isn't it. The president has apparently ignored calls from Republicans to scrap his bill completely and start over with a blank sheet of paper. But nevertheless, he is trying to reset the debate. So to find out exactly what's in the proposal and what the president is trying to do, we're joined by Trudy Lieberman, contributing editor to the Columbia Journalism Review, and Mary Agnes Carey, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, is back with us as well. Trudy, I want to start with you. What are the major parts of this proposal? What's in it that we haven't seen before already knocking around Congress?
Well, we have seen penalties for people who don't buy insurance, and they've been reduced somewhat in this bill, which of course raises the question whether people will take these lower penalties now, $325 for the first year the law is in effect, and or will they buy insurance at some price, and we don't know what the price is. The other thing that is new, which Mary Agnes alluded to a little bit ago, is this insurance oversight on the federal level. This plan by the president would set up this federal authority, which would take a look at some of these rate increases that insurance companies have been proposing and decide whether or not they are exorbitant and whether or not they should be reduced. It's not clear exactly how this is going to fit in with some of the state regulation, but there would be this other layer of oversight, and hopefully or perhaps jawbone the insurance companies into reducing the rates if there was no strong regulatory authority in the law. The excise tax has been tweaked a little bit.
Now, you're talking about high-cost plans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're talking about the Cadillac, so-called Cadillac plans, the benefit, the plans that have richer benefits. These would now, the tax would now fall on union plans as well as non-union plans and go into effect sometime after 2018. This is a little bit different than what was in the first bill, which was, basically it was an agreement not to tax the union negotiated plans for some period of time. So there's a little bit more equity here. Those plans are still somewhat problematic from the consumer standpoint, because if benefits are eventually reduced, as many experts think they will be, what does this do in terms of letting people go underinsured, which has been a big problem and has certainly been talked about a lot during this debate? So we really don't know what effect that will have either on saving money in the long run or in what people will have in coverage. We just know that it will happen and eventually affect about one quarter of the plan.
Well, let me ask Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News about this. Mary Agnes, what Trudy Lieberman is describing is a lot of tweaks apart from this new sort of federal crackdown on insurance companies raising their rates. Why, after the health care bill essentially stalling, if not failing, in Congress, would the president more or less retread proposals that the public seems to have said they don't like? Or is that what he's doing?
Well, the president has made and his advisors have made a political calculation that their best interest is to push for the biggest bill now, and that voters will punish them not only at the midterm elections but in subsequent elections if Democrats don't deliver on the big package. It's a risk. It's a gamble, but he's made this a top priority. He ran for it for the presidency, ran on this issue. A lot of members of Congress were elected on this issue, and he feels that he's, I think, going to use his political capital and push Democrats who might be reluctant to now embrace this to do so, and it's a decision that they've made.
So that this new proposal seems to be about getting Democrats in lockstep, not so much winning over Republicans, I guess. And I want to ask you about some numbers that are out there, Mary Agnes, because there's something that's really interesting. And some of the interesting polling numbers come from the Kaiser Family Foundation, where you work. Just by way of example, closing the Medicare prescription donut hole, a gap in Medicare coverage, that's in the bill. And according to polling, 68% of the public wants that. Ending discrimination against Americans with pre-existing conditions. According to the Washington Post ABC poll, 80% of Americans want that. Incredibly popular. And yet the bill that the president is proposing is essentially unpopular. Why is that?
Well, I think that it's viewed, a lot of the Republican talking points have gotten through to people. For example, you mentioned some of this Kaiser Family Foundation polling. There's actually a new health tracking poll out today, for example, right? To your point,
When asked, do you support health care reform, it split 43% for, 43% opposed, and the rest of the folks undecided. I think there's a lot of messages Republicans put out about the bill. It's going to be a government takeover. It's going to raise your health care costs. It's going to decimate the Medicare program. A lot of those messages have prevailed, but when they get into asking people about specific provisions, just as you noted, many polls show that people accept these provisions and want them and support them. So that's going to be the war for the White House and for Democrats that want to vote for this bill. How do you get that message to the public, and how do you get the public support behind this bill?
And Trudy, that would be my question to you. If Mary, if we are correct in saying that the provisions themselves are popular, but health care reform is not, the bill itself is not, how can you then reset when you're not truly resetting?
Well, the problem has been, and we've observed this on CJR.org basically for the last 2 years, that what's in these bills, what the goal was, has not been effectively communicated to people by the White House or most other politicians as well. We've dealt a lot in slogans, affordable quality health care on the Democratic side, government-run health care on the Republican side. You can keep what you have if you have insurance from the White House. So I think what is in the bill, what it's been trying to do, has not been communicated effectively. And I went out and did my own little man-on-the-street interviews in New York on Saturday and found, indeed, the people I sampled in my very small scientific sample, that they are split and they do not understand what's in the bill. And if they have insurance, they say, well, it's not going to affect me. So I think the goals of reform, which have changed in the White House's mind, have not been effectively communicated. We first started out with universal coverage and now are ending up with insurance reform and deficit reduction. And so you can see this progression of shift in what health reform was supposed to do. Well, and I would argue that the people have seen through that.
Well, Trudy, the White House has a challenge. As you say in your straw poll, people are split. Nationally, they seem to be split. And if the president is resetting, we'll see if he can reset with the public and with his own Democrats. Trudy Lieberman is contributing editor to the Columbia Journalism Review and a healthcare specialist. Mary Agnes Carey, of course, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now at 15 minutes past the hour, let's check in on some top stories we're following.
Federal prosecutors have launched a criminal investigation into Toyota's safety problems. Today and tomorrow, company executives are expected to testify in Capitol Hill. In an opinion piece published in the Wall Street Journal today, Toyota's president has acknowledged that his company stumbled badly. Top military leaders are also testifying this week on the Hill. They're focusing on whether gays and lesbians should be able to serve openly in the military. Yesterday, the top U.S. commander in Iraq, General Raymond Odierno, said sexual orientation shouldn't keep anyone from enlisting.
My opinion is everyone should be allowed to serve as long as we're still able to fight our wars.
Today, top Army and Air Force chiefs will testify.
In New York, terrorism suspect Najibullah Zazi pled guilty in a federal court yesterday. Attorney General Eric Holder says Zazi plotted with al-Qaeda to carry out an attack on American soil.
Zazi has admitted that he brought explosives to New York City on September 10th, 2009, and that he and others intended to detonate them on board the New York City subway system.
Zazi faces life in prison without parole. Overseas, our partner The New York Times reports that Pakistani authorities have captured another top Taliban leader, Mullah Kabir. He's reported to have overseen military operations in eastern Afghanistan. And finally, at home, visiting a U.S. hospital could be deadly, but not for the obvious reasons. A report out today says infections caught in U.S. hospitals killed nearly 50,000 patients and cost over $8 billion in 1 year alone. The latest figures are for 2006. And that's a look at some of the stories we're following this morning.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.